Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have James as a guest. James is the coordinator for South Asian Ministries in North Carolina. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming, and I'm so excited to get to know you. I know you as a friend, of course, but I really want our listeners to get to know you as well. Today is episode one, and episode one is normally a personal story, and I'm very excited about hearing your personal story and getting your story to our audiences. So, James, can you tell us about your family?
Sammy, thank you. So I am married to my beautiful wife, Elizabeth. We have four children. Isabella, who's eight, got a five-year-old daughter, Audrey, and we have twin boys, Peter and Harry. Keep us busy. They're 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's great. James, you told me that you're not originally from the United States, right?
I am not. I'm actually half British, and I was born in the UK, and I shifted to the US when I was about 10. My father's American, though,
great.
From Boston.
Yeah, Boston. Yes.
Go Red Sox.
Yes. Now, my next question is my favorite question. How did you become a follower of Christ?
Yeah, so I was not raised in a Christian family. And so I didn't grow up being exposed to the gospel. It was more of an Anglican, Episcopal family, and we never went to church, never prayed, never read the Bible. And maybe like once a year we'd go to church for like Christmas or something like that. But I wouldn't really consider it a Christian family. I went off the deep end as a teenager, like got really involved in drugs and the party lifestyle. And when I was about 17 years old, I had a near-death experience that really just kind of shook me and kind of caused me to start thinking about my purpose in life and kind of like what would happen if I died. And around that same time, I had, just from working at a restaurant as a server, people would give me gospel tracts all the time. And I had read the gospel through those tracts, and just that the seeds of the gospel had been planted in my heart. And so when I was kind of wrestling with all those questions, really the gospel answered them. And so I just gave my life to the Lord. And I was baptized, I think, when I was about 18 years old. And that's kind of my story in a nutshell. I could go into a lot more detail about my conversion. But very shortly after I became a believer, like I just knew that if no one ever took the time to give me one of those tracts or tried to talk to me about Jesus, then I would have never heard this great news. And so evangelism became a very important part of my life, just almost immediately after my initial discipleship. And I just started getting involved in the evangelism ministries at our church. And over time, the Lord just kind of brought my eyes to the nations and to the Great Commission, you know, going to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all nations. And I realized, like, living here in North Carolina, especially where I lived, in more rural North Carolina, we literally had a church on every street corner, practically. Of all the doors that we ever knocked on going to share the gospel, a vast majority of the people that we did encounter had some kind of exposure to the gospel or to church. And the Lord just started burdening me with the reality that there are many places in the world that don't have such exposure. And I ended up seeing that there's this map called the Global Status of Evangelical Christianity. It's a lot of evangelical organizations, missions organizations, including the Southern Baptist International Mission Board, the IMB, work on putting this map together. And when I first saw that map, like maybe 12, 13 years ago, that map in South Asia, it was just dense red, and red representing unreached people groups, unengaged people groups, as well as just lostness per capita. And, you know, the PR would say for South Asia, you know, their big advertising push was like, you know, South Asia is bleeding, mm-hmm. as they were trying to mobilize missionaries to go to South Asia. And South Asia encompasses India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka, Maldives. Sometimes people throw Afghanistan in there as well. And so you look at that map and it was just like the greatest concentration of lostness on earth. So as I was kind of wrestling with that missionary call, I was saying just like, Isaiah, here I am, send me now. And then the desire of my heart was that the Lord would send me to where the greatest need was on earth at that time. And so the Lord ended up sending us to South Asia, and we were able to kind of serve there for a few years. And then we've been serving with South Asians here in North Carolina for the last 3.5 years. So I know you asked me, how did I become a follower of Christ? But I think that, you know, I just want to share like my missionary calling with that as well.
Thanks so much. Your story about being at this restaurant and then those people who handed out the gospel tract to you and were drawn to Christ, I think that really reminds me of the time that you and I were sitting in the restaurant together, Indian restaurant, and then there was a server, and then you shared the gospel with her. And actually, the lady is still coming to my church. It's so amazing that the small act of the faith, by sharing the gospel and giving the gospel tract and all those things, can actually lead someone, you know, to Jesus. And then Amen. That person can impact so many people in their circle of influences. So, I mean, yeah, your story really inspired me so much. I hope that would be the case for our listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, if you're out there and you've thought about using tracts before, maybe you've even heard people say negative things about them. I get it a lot, like kind of people disparage using gospel tracts and as kind of like a, you know, a way to get around not having to personally share. I say if that's the most that you can do, you know, is just give a gospel tract to somebody. You know, God's word says that the word of God will not return void. And so, that could bless somebody, and you never know, like the people that you give those tracts to. Yeah, you probably imagine a majority of people that receive them probably will just throw it away, but you never know, like you might give it to that one person who will actually read it and take it seriously. They might be going through a difficult time in their life like I was, and you know, that word would just kind of greatly transform their life. I would say I wish that I knew the person that gave it to me. Write your name and your number in the back of it, just in case, you know, somebody does, you know, come to faith, and they can try to get in touch with you. That's what I usually try to do when I give them out.
Good. What is your life verse?
Yeah, so there's a lot of favorite verses I have, actually you and I were just talking about one verse that's really important to me. That's John 13, 34, 35, where Jesus says, and I'll just pull it up right here so I don't misquote it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, fulfilling that the great commandment and the second greatest commandment, you know, that's just really, like, part of our DNA and, like, why we do what we do, like, why we have, like, such a a passion for this ministry to the nations is because this is ultimately the best way that we can love our South Asian neighbor as we love ourselves, and as Christ loved us.
Mm. Amen. Who was the biggest influence in your life?
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I've had a lot, honestly, like not to puff you up, but I've really just been blessed. Sammy has really encouraged us in just ministering to the nations here. When I was just kind of cutting my teeth on international ministry in North Carolina, this was before we ever served overseas. It was when I was in seminary. My wife and I were actually, I think we were just kind of courting each other when I first met Sammy, and then we were newlyweds, and we were just getting involved with Sammy and the international student ministry at NC State, which I still actually engage with from time to time to this day. So not to puff you up, brother, but I think you've had a big influence on just my way of thinking of international ministry. I would say George Robinson at Southeastern Seminary has been a great encouragement to me. A lot of the way I think about discipleship, he just really radically challenged me before we moved overseas. And really kind of like our philosophy of ministry and discipleship today, I would say was largely in part of just sitting under him in some of his classes, and then just developing a friendship with him in the years afterward. I love John Piper. He and his writings have, you know, greatly encouraged us. David Platt as well, just trying to live out that radical calling. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I forget exactly what he said, but he was just like, that would be like, or people are taking this book Radical too far. And I was just like, well, that's the whole point, you know, of this book. You know, like, we're supposed to be like Jesus's call right here when he says, you are to love one another as I have loved you. Like, we don't really think about what that means. Like, Jesus loved us so much that he laid his life down for us. He bled for us. Mm. He sacrificed everything for us. And like, it is a command he's giving us. It's not a suggestion. And so Jesus and his calling, like, the real Christian life is a radical Christian life. There is no like sitting on the fence with the Christian life. Mm. And so, you know, yeah, like David Platt's book, I mean, you can't take it too far. Like, when Jesus calls us, he calls, you know, when Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, you know, when Christ bids a man, he bids him come and die. And that's really the radical calling that Jesus has given us.
Mm. Amen. Now, James, I can definitely feel your passion, but if you could articulate what it is, what are you most passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, I think reaching the nations is, if there's one thing that I would say that if I meditate the most on something in this life, it's probably, you know, reaching the nations, like letting them know Christ as their Savior, and loving the nations, like you know, like, it's not just a kind of, we're not soloing evangelism out to them, but it's a great blessing to us as we just get to develop relationships with persons from other nationalities and cultures. And I love, and my wife and I both just love, even though we're, you know, we haven't seen a lot of fruit of like people giving their life to Christ from South Asia, but we've developed lots of great relationships with these friends, and we just are very very blessed by these relationships. So reaching the nations, loving them, passionate about my family, passionate about music. I love the Red Sox. there's a lot more I could share, but yeah, those are a few things.
Yeah, definitely I can feel your passion about reaching the nations. because you said you have a lunch appointment with Chinese student today. So you're not really passionate only about South Asians, but you're really passionate about all nations.
Yeah, we have a specific focus on South Asians. We want to, you know, be the champions for that because we feel that if nobody beats that drum, like they can easily get looked over. They're a very difficult people group to work with. Just in terms of like reaching them with the gospel, there's a lot of barriers. But they're very friendly, kind culture as well. But yeah, we say one of our mantras is that we don't pass lostness for lostness. Mm-hmm. So if the Lord sends, you know, like in the case of these friends I'm meeting today, if the Lord sends some Chinese friends my way, or I've got some of our neighbors are from Puerto Rico, we've been developing a great friendship with them, whoever the Lord sends our way, or if they're just good old American boys and girls, you know, like the Lord, you know, we want to be faithful and just sharing with whoever comes our way. Yeah.
Great. My last question for you is, what is the highlight of your life?
Yeah, well, I would have to say it's been married to my wife, Elizabeth, just meeting her all those years ago, and just the Lord. We've been married actually this year, 10 years we'll be completing in May, and just having that helpmate, yeah, it's definitely been, I would say, the highlight of my life. Just the Lord's really blessed me in many ways through her friendship and partnership in our ministry.
Well, thank you, James, for sharing your personal stories. In the next episode, we'd love to hear more about your current ministries. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries as your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.